Hello and welcome to Argue the Toss at GameIndustry.com. I'm Shella.
And I'm Drew, and together we're arguing about the things that really matter in games and films and stuff.
Indeed we are, and it is Season 5,
season
Episode
five.
1.
Yeah, oh. Indeed it is.
Season
Amazing.
5, yeah.
Yeah.
And Happy New Year to everyone.
Yeah,
welcome to 2019.
Yeah, we've had like a 3 week, maybe months break or something.
Yeah, we have had a long break.
Yeah, we have. But now we're back.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah.
So today, to kick off our fifth season, we are talking about Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, which has been, I'm sure you've heard of it by now. It's it's been making the rounds.
Yeah.
And yeah, everyone's been, like, Twitter has been a buzz for the past, like, 3 weeks, well, even more than that, about this film, for at least my personal bubble has.
Yeah, mine too.
Yeah
it's been buzzing. People love it.
Yeah, it's something I saw, like, the trailer for about 4 or 5 months ago. I think we saw it together in when we were going to see another film, which might have been Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yeah.
And we were looking at that, and, oh, that looks interesting. And I thought it was going to be like a low-key release, and didn't think it was going to take off that much. But then it came out, and people were like, actually, this is pretty amazing.
Oh, I saw it before seeing it at the cinema. I saw the trailer, and I was like, that looks amazing. I've been looking forward to it for ages, because it just looked so stunningly beautiful, and just looked like a fresh take. It had, Miles Morales, so I was there for that.
we've had three different Peter Parkers. We can have someone else now.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, we've got the Black Spider-Man, which is really great. So, and I just loved the style, that kind of Aeon Flux type sort of style of figures, quite spindly limbs and stuff.
Yeah.
It's kind of a blend between, like Aeon Flux was, this sort of blend between anime and Western style character design, which I really like. So, and it didn't disappoint at
all.
No,
it didn't. No, we both came out of it sort of saying it's going to be difficult to find anything wrong to talk about in that film. Our tradition is we go and see a film, we really like it, we come back and we pick it apart, and it sounds like we didn't like it so much.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's going to be the case here, because I have few to no criticisms.
Yeah, me either. Yeah.
Just had, like, 2 hours of absolute kind of pure fun and joy, and just not a down moment in it.
No. I mean, even though, obviously, narratively, there were peaks and troughs.
Yeah.
But quality-wise, it was just, like, sheer enjoyment. I came out of that thinking, if I'd seen that, because we saw it, on Saturday, so when this airs, we saw it in 2019. Obviously, it came out in 2018. I was like, that probably would have been I suppose there was Black Panther at the beginning of the year, but yeah, it's been a close thing for film of the year for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Same.
Yeah. Because it's been a bit of a funny year for films, but I guess that's a conversation for the awards season episode that we might or might not do.
Yeah, but, I guess we'll probably do one of those next month.
So, yeah, there's lots of fodder for movies at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. I guess we'll do, like, a little pre-see of the plot. Pretty simple. So, Wilson Fisk, it has a gizmo that's is like a sort of portal to different dimensions.
Mm-hmm.
And because he's trying to reunite with his family, his beloved Vanessa and his child. Mm-hmm. Because of that, because he's breaking down the sort of barriers between dimensions, all the spider people are coming through into the world of Peter Parker and Miles Morales, who share the same reality.
Mm.
And then, so you've got Spider-Gwen, Spider-Man Noir, we've got an alternate Peter Parker, which is really interesting. And who's the last one? The porky one. What's he
Spider
called?
Ham.
Spider Ham, of course. How
Yeah.
could I forget?
And did we mention Penny Parker as well,
Oh,
the anime one?
yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And the anime one, yeah, who I'm not familiar with at all.
No, me neither. She kind of
Yeah.
has a spider mech rather than spider. Instead of being bitten by a spider, she has kind of like a spider friend.
Yeah, she has a pet
Yeah.
spider.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, he'd like sits inside a giant mech. So yeah. So that's the basic premise, and I
Yeah.
suppose thematically it's about Miles believing in himself and finding himself enough to become Spider-Man.
Yes.
Yeah, so it has a really nice, simple story and a really good motivation for both Miles, the supporting cast, and the villain as well. Most
Yeah.
importantly, I think Fisk has a really good motivation for what he's doing,
He does.
other than just like, I don't know, robbing banks in different dimensions or something. You know, it could have been really just whatever. But yeah, I quite like Wilson Fisk for that. He has quite a good hook as a villain, his love of Vanessa.
Yeah, he's always been one of my kind of favorite Spider-Man villains. He's always like for a guy whose characterization is, like giant mafia boss, he's always
Yeah.
been a little bit deeper, especially in kind of like
Yeah.
the Ultimate Spider-Man comics, which are the ones that I've read. He had
Yeah.
a really kind of interesting back and forth with Spider-Man, and I think that comes through here as well.
Yeah, and also in Daredevil, the Netflix Daredevil, he's really fantastic.
Oh yeah, isn't it Vincent D'Onofrio in that?
I don't know the
Oh, fair
actor,
enough. Ah.
but yeah, he's this sort of like highly cultured Wilson Fisk who, fine dining and opera music playing, and but yeah, has this real love for this woman. So yeah, yeah, I think he's a great villain, and he did a really good job in this too.
Yes.
So I suppose the first thing to talk about is the way it looks.
Yeah, like it's absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, I mean, right from the Columbia Pictures logo is like, okay, something, this is different to your usual Marvel style. It kind of glitches and it's all thematic with the film, and yeah, the logo changes into the style that the whole film is in. Yeah, and it's kind of meta in a way as well, because it takes on this sort of pop art feel. So
Yes.
obviously pop art was riffing off comic book art, low art is high art, and all that sort of thing. And then they kind of take the pop art style back and reclaim it and put it back in a very, very comic book style animation.
Yeah. And
Yeah.
it finds like different ways to explore that as well. So for example, when Miles starts to become Spider-Man, that stuff comes to the forefront and it has like comic book box text boxes
Yeah.
popping up and just and then once it's we've moved beyond that bit, you start bringing in all of the other sort of Spider-Men from their different comic universes. Sorry, Spider-Man and Spider-Women. Spider-People, I can
Spider
say.
people.
Yeah. They all have like significantly different art styles. So there's an anime one, there's kind of a Looney Tunes funny animal one,
Yeah.
and yeah, it just contrasts those together really well in a way that doesn't look kind of visually disparate. It integrates them really well into this kind of just psychedelic, colorful, amazing
Yeah.
throughout,
Yeah. And then it uses the Bendé dots as well, which I suppose are sort of made even more famous by Roy Lichtenstein's sort of pop art feel again, the sort of dots that they use to texture things. And yeah, so they use that on the screen. It's got this kind of zine feel to it. So it has like sound effects bubbles as well. So it has, it'll have like crackles and things if something loud goes off. It's just, yeah, it kind of reminded me of Beautiful Joe.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah, that kind of, it's just stunning to behold. Yeah, just amazing.
Yeah.
Just a real, you could just watch it without. And then I was at one point, there was the storytelling as well. The visual storytelling is amazing, because there was a point where I kind of blocked out the dialogue, And just the blocking and the choreography and the animation of the faces, you could kind of read what was going on in the story without it. So, it's just done by really masterfully,
Yeah.
the visual storytelling. It's lovely.
It was nice to come back to Twitter afterwards and watch, like, all, 'cause I'd been like avoiding watching any of it in case it was, heavily spoilable or anything, which just to mention, it isn't really. Like, it's very meta and it's very kind of, it's something new that Spider-Man has done, but it's actually kind of a reasonably simple story, and yeah, it's you can't really be spoiled for it, just go and watch it. Yeah, so, but what was I saying? I forgot what I was saying.
You went back onto Twitter to
Oh,
look
yeah, that was it.
at.
So I kind of went back onto Twitter and saw all these, like, animated GIFs of just moments from the film, and it's just amazing to look at them and see how well they communicate what's happening in the scene.
They
Yeah.
do so well.
Yeah.
And I guess like Easter eggs, it's just full
Yeah.
of stuff from all the Spider-Man and from the Spider-Verse, basically, as we know
Yes.
it as consumers. So whether you're into comics or if you're just into the film, if you only saw the Tobey Maguire one, they do the whole thing. They do the whole of the first Tobey Maguire film pretty much in this
Yeah.
really short, sweet sequence where they're just like, right, okay, this is the origin story, this is how it goes, and then they do the Tobey Maguire film, and it's just brilliant and sort of joyous. And and then they got things from the from Homecoming. They've got references all over the place from all sorts of things, so
Yeah.
which is really nice.
There's the outfit from the game shows up in like a cameo in the PS4 game, which is really cool. It's just, yeah, whatever kind of Spider-Man you grew up on or whatever you're into, there is something here for you to look at and go, "Oh, I know what that is." There's insider information for you. It just spans the entire kind of history of the character,
It does.
which is really
Even
great.
Donald Glover is in it.
Yeah, yeah, is he?
I didn't notice it because I wasn't very aware of the Donald Glover for
Yeah.
Spider-Man thing that he wanted to play Spider-Man. But yeah, there's a scene where he's on TV in Community in his Spider-Man pajamas.
Oh, right. I did
Yeah,
not
so
notice that.
yeah,
That's
so they've
amazing.
like covered everything.
Yeah.
There's not a Spider-Man stone left unturned.
That's so
So
good.
yeah, it is. It's really nice. And then the soundtrack is
Yeah, which
another
is.
standout thing.
Absolutely.
So it's just like, I suppose if you it kind of reminded me of if you know Cowboy Bebop, the way the sound and the visuals just marry like perfectly with the animation of Cowboy Bebop, and then it has this sort of jazz soundtrack. It kind of reminded me of that. So it's got like a mixture of hip hop and jazz, and so it doesn't sound like an MCU film at all. It doesn't
Yeah.
have a bombastic sort of orchestral soundtrack. It's got the soundtrack of Miles's life, basically.
Yes.
Of his neighborhood. And it's just really lovely.
And that's kind of sort of explicitly sort of laid out early on where you see him kind of listening to. I can't remember if it sort of like fades in from being just background music to diegetic music, which he's listening to. Is it diegetic or diegetic? I don't know. But yeah, it's really kind of like the soundtrack is kind of not quite as meta as the visuals and the art style, but it is integrated into the film in a unique way.
It is the music that he listens to and that that his parents put on at home and stuff like that. It's really cool and it just goes really well with everything, and it's like brilliant. It's all like every track is just awesome.
Like particularly memorable that like there's this bit like kind of in the middle of the film or just before Act Three where sort of Miles is becoming Spider-Man and he's getting on his powers and it's a track that was written specifically for the film I think called What's Up Danger and it's just absolutely fantastic and just the it's almost like a like they're doing a musical number because like nothing else is happening you're just listening to that track and watching Miles sort of come into his own to the music and it is just absolutely amazing.
Yeah. And it's like a really important part of the film and who he is and stuff as well. But
Yes.
yeah, because when we first introduced him, he is, like you say, listening to music on headphones. And yeah, so, and that ties through all the way through to that moment. Yeah, it's really cool. What should we talk about?
There's so much.
I know.
I think we should talk about the cast because it is an amazing
Okay.
cast.
Yeah, it is.
So there's about six different. No, there's more than that. There's how many spider people did we count in this? So
Isn't
there's
it
Miles
five?
Morales.
Yeah.
There's Peter. There's the kind of older, kind of more jaded version of Spider-Man, who is
Yeah.
called Peter B. Parker, which is
Yeah.
amazing. There's Spider-Gwen, who
Yeah.
or Spider-Woman, they refer to her in this film. There's so yeah, we talked about Spider-Ham,
Spider-Man. Yeah.
and Penny Parker, and Spider-Man Noir, who
More,
is
yeah.
like amazing.
He is.
There's also a lot of background ones. Miguel O'Hara turns up Spider-Man 2099 in kind of a post-credit scene, and he was voiced by Oscar Isaac, by the way. That was who that was. We
Wow.
were looking through the credits, and he showed up, and I said, "Is Oscar Isaac in this film?"
Oh, right, that's why.
And there is another Spider-Man that he encounters, who I won't spoil because that's just such a nice joke. And oh, sorry, so that's eight already.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
I've forgotten what the post-credit scene is.
it's Yeah, I won't spoil it. Go and see the
No,
film and
tell me
wait till after the
afterwards.
credits. But
Yeah.
it's the how to say it? It's the pointing scene.
Nope, can't
Nope.
remember.
Okay, fair
Remind
enough.
me afterwards. It's like
Yeah.
completely gone. But yeah, I did have jet lag, so
Yeah.
I only just made it through that viewing. Yeah, it's only because it was so glorious that I made it through without falling asleep. So the cast.
Yeah. So, it's Shameik Moore as like Miles Morales, who is the main kind of character in this.
What's he from? I do recognize his face, but
I don't really know him from anything,
okay.
but he does a great job. Like,
Yeah.
Miles is a really great character in this. He's very empathetic. He's very kind of
Yeah.
emotive and emotionally vulnerable, and it's just,
Yeah,
yeah,
he is just
really great
really
performance.
natural. Oh, he was in The Get Down.
All right, yeah,
Oh,
I haven't seen that.
okay. He was freaking. Oh, yeah, that's him. He was freaking awesome in The Get Down as well. Sorry, digressing.
No, it's all right.
Everyone
I
should
think
watch The Get
still on
Down.
topic.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then you have Jake Johnson as kind of the Peter B. Parker, the older Spider-Man. I don't know
Yeah.
Jake Johnson that much. I've seen him in like the one episode of New Girl that I watched, I think.
I've know his face, but I know don't know him either. But he's like, not knowing who was voicing it, I was just like, hey, I can now totally see John Cusack as Peter Parker.
Yeah, like I thought it was Breckenmeyer for a while, but yeah, John Cusack, it's a very similar kind of voice.
Yeah, sort of shtick, isn't it? And
Yeah.
I really want to see John Cusack as Peter Parker now.
That would be really good. Yeah. Yeah,
Yeah,
he would
I
be
think
such
he'd
a good
be,
choice.
yeah, he would be great. Apparently that guy, Jake Johnson's in Jurassic World.
Oh, right. Well, I've forgotten him with the rest of that film.
Exactly. Spider-Woman
So
is.
yeah, Gwen Stacy, Hailee Steinfeld. I don't really know her from anything either.
No.
I don't know many of these. This is a really good cast section that we're doing.
Yeah. No, I don't know. Apparently she's Pitch Perfect. Oh, she was in True Grit. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. So I. Oh, she's in
Oh, is
Ender's
she
Game
the
as
girl
well.
who is she the main one from True Grit? Is
She might be.
she wasn't she like didn't she win an Oscar for that or something?
She was nominated for Best Supporting Actress as well, so yeah, I
Yeah,
suppose she
yeah.
must be.
Wow, amazing. Oh, that's her. That's nice to see her because she completely just disappeared after that, which is weird. Yeah, so that's nice.
She
And
doesn't get a whole lot to do in this film.
no, she is probably the least interesting character.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's just like the cute girl one,
Yeah, she's good, and she
pretty
has like a
much.
really great look as
Yeah.
Spider-Woman. I think she's got one of the best outfits in the film, and
Oh,
her
yeah, she
animation style
does.
sort of kind
Yeah.
of lays into that and makes her very kind of acrobatic and gymnastic,
Yeah,
which is
yeah,
it's really good.
yeah.
But
She, like, her outfit, you can see being cosplayed to bits. It's
yeah,
just, like,
absolutely.
really cool.
But yeah, apart from kind of being Miles's main love interest, she doesn't get a whole lot to do.
No, she doesn't.
She like
Yeah.
she's great. She's a good character. She's interesting to watch. It's just she's not there to do much.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
those are the kind of three main spider people in the film, and then there are
Yeah.
more who come in who are kind of sidekick and ancillary characters. That you end up with a team of five or six, I think,
Yeah.
and the outer ones then are kind of more out there variations on the Spider-Man concept. So you get Spider-Man Noir, who is voiced by Nicolas Cage
Oh my
and
God, which
is
just makes
amazing.
he is.
Yeah.
As two people who really like noir, he
Yeah.
was
He
freaking
has all of the best lines in the film.
amazing.
He
Yeah, he
like
does.
he's the funniest. He's just kind of this bogart Spider-Man who's just grizzled and emotionally
Moody.
troubled and
Yeah.
never stops talking about it.
It's so good. Yeah,
Yeah.
love it. And I didn't realize it was Nicolas Cage until I saw him in the credits. I was like, was Nicolas Cage in this?
Yeah.
Seems to be what we said through the whole credits.
Yeah.
Oscar Isaac's in this. So yeah, so once I realized it was Nicolas Cage, I was like, oh my God, it just makes it better.
Yeah, like he's so perfect. It's the perfect role for him because it's
Yeah.
just like he's so good at doing that overwrought, just like
Right.
ridiculous emotional investment in every line. And it's,
Exactly.
yeah, he's so good.
Yeah.
Then you've got Spider-Hem, I suppose this is the next kind of most featured one, who is voiced by John Mulaney, who is a comedian who I very much like. You've probably seen him as, well, do you know him? Have you seen any of his stand-up stuff?
No.
He
No, I don't.
he's really good. He's also in Big Mouth as like the best friend character.
Okay.
So yeah, he's Spider-Ham, I think, is again one of my favorite things in the film, and they're surprisingly restrained with him.
Yeah.
Like he's this very kind of out there character. He's explicitly like a cartoon. He's a Looney Tunes funny animal cartoon. So he has a hammer which he can pull out of nowhere, and he
All the
floats along when he
gags.
smells a nice pie, you know.
Yeah, all the gags are there, but he doesn't go scrappy do.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah.
And like the thing about him was, I kind of wanted a bit more of him. Like they're really restrained in what they do with him. They don't let him overshadow anything, but they pull him back so much that I thought I could have done with, just a bit more of him, which
Okay.
I guess is good. Like always leave them wanting more. I thought he
Wanting
was really
more.
funny, but
Yeah, he
yeah.
was good. Yeah, because it could have been annoying really easily.
Yeah.
At least he didn't have like doing sound effects
No,
and stuff like
exactly.
that. Yeah, it wasn't
Ex
like
except
Roger
when it was
Rabbit.
funny. Yeah. Like I think some of that did come out when, especially in the sort of climax of the film where he gets like one of the best kind of jokes or like mini scenes in the sort of final
Yeah.
showdown. And yeah,
Yeah.
it's lots of fun to watch.
Yeah, it is good fun. And then I suppose the supporting cast, well, I suppose the big name that I saw who I didn't realize was in it was Mahershala Ali. I don't know
Yes.
how do you
Mahershala.
pronounce her? Mahershala
Yeah.
Ali. And he plays Miles's
Yeah,
it's
uncle.
hard to say. Yeah, uncle. Yeah,
Yeah.
that's we'll leave it at that. And then Brian Tyree Henry plays Jefferson Davis.
Your
So
favorite
it's
character.
yeah, Jeff is in it and he's awesome. If you saw listen to our Spider-Man the game
Episode.
episode, yeah, I love Jeff. And so it was good to have Jeff back in it. He rocked. He was a good, solid dad.
Like he's a great character. I think Aaron Miles's uncle is a great character as well. If
Yeah.
you've read any of the Miles Morales comics, or if you're familiar with the backstory, you're not going to be surprised by what happens with them in the film. They are the versions of those characters that you kind of know, but they're still done really, really well. And
Yeah. It's just, yeah, so it was like really well handled, the whole sort of, because Miles is biracial, so he's Black American and Latino. He's bilingual, so he kind of straddles those two worlds, and that is kind of repeated all the time because he's clever, he gets into the posh school. So when he walks to school, he's walking past all his friends and then up to the school with the uniform and all the white kids. And then, the sort of uncle and the father, they also represent the sort of duality that lots of like black or minority ethnic kids have to live in, sort of like straddling world. So his dad's a cop and his uncle is, like shades of grey, shall we say. Yeah, it's really clever how that's handled. I'd say the only thing is how little his mother features
Oh yeah, that's true.
is a bit of a shame. It is a bit of a man fest, isn't it? That's probably the only criticism I'd say, is that Gwen doesn't get that much to do, and his mother is, she's there, and she speaks in Spanish, which is cool, so they have that going on and she's supportive and stuff, but she's not the relationship character.
No.
That goes to his dad and uncle.
Yeah, that sort of that crops up elsewhere in the film as well. Mary Jane, I thought, got like she does like she's still alive, so you can't really call it fridging, but she does kind of like
Oh,
she's brought
yeah.
up at the beginning, and from there is just kind of a established as just a motivation for Peter B. Parker. It's very difficult to refer to that character because he's
Yeah.
because I just think of him as I guess he's the
Peter.
only like Peter Parker.
Yeah, he is. He's the only one there.
Oh yeah, except for the one at the beginning in Miles's universe, who surprisingly voiced by Chris Pine, which I didn't pick up on.
Oh, that's who he was. Because I saw him in the cast list and I was like, what is
Yeah, like he's
that?
it, I th no, I think he's the one who does like the Christmas song at the end as well. Although he releases a Christmas album, which is actually like there is an EP that you can get. Yeah, so they
Yeah.
did a full thing. So that's nine Spider-Men we've counted.
Yeah. So many.
But yeah, Mary Jane is just kind of established as a motivating fact of him, and they're not really mentioned again. She does show up. Mid-film doesn't really get it. She gets like kind of a funny scene, but she doesn't really do much in it.
No, I'd forgotten she was in it, to be honest. But then on the flip side, I suppose we have Aunt May. She's more like, what's his name from Batman? The butler from Batman. She's more that kind of a character, which is kind of cool. I was
Like,
just
because there
like,
is a Batcave.
yeah. So yeah, I just thought that was cool. It's like, oh yeah, I'm ready for this Aunt May. And Aunt May, who's just on board and just like tinkering and making weapons, that'd be
Absolutely.
awesome. So yeah, so is that, and then Doc Ock is
Spoilers.
oh, is it? Is Do you think that's a spoiler? So yeah, Doc Ock's a woman. That kind of bumps up the woman count. So, and she's cool. I really liked her. She wasn't sexualized at
No,
all.
she
Her
was. Wow,
outfit was.
I think that's a matter of opinion. I had a thing going for her in a movie. I just go for women with massive metal tentacles.
But yeah, so she wasn't just like, a hottie with arms, kind
No.
of. She was just like scientist lady who then turns out like, oh dear.
Oh, she's the mad kind of scientist.
Yeah,
Okay.
yeah.
But yeah,
So,
she's really good. She's really kind of she's the most frightening villain in the film, I guess.
yes, she is.
Well, no, I guess I guess Prowler sort of
Yeah.
is pretty good as well.
Yeah, he is. But then Wilson Fisk. The thing I loved about him, which is a thing that you can kind of only do with animation unless you have lots of CG, was his sheer mass of the man was incredible. He just literally filled the screen when he like stepped into a scene, and it was, yeah, it was really cool. Yeah, you just felt this incredible presence of him, you know, sort of physical presence. And so yeah, he was cool in every scene he was in. And like we said earlier, he had a good solid motivation that wasn't just like, I don't know, conjuring up, I don't know, a demon to take over the city or whatever, which is the usual fare we get in. It's usually the weakest part of a superhero endeavor. But yeah, I think it just all pulled together really nicely. The big climax was big and climaxy and satisfying, and yeah, it just like everything just worked. It was beautifully paced and had the right mix of kind of quiet, sensitive moments. You know, he had a really cool relationship with his dad and his uncle, and yeah, it was just lovely. I don't have much more to say about it, to be honest. It was just really cool.
I don't think I do either. I really enjoyed the story. I thought it was constructed very well. It comes together really well at the end in a way that, the kind of climax of it is a payoff for like three separate characters, which ties together really, really well, and also the downfall of the villain. It is very much earned by like the setup. It's not just, you know, they beat him up in a location. Like what happens is with no, there's no need to talk about it in detail, but it's just really good and a really great payoff for the plot.
That whole, yeah. It's just a good, satisfying film that I'd quite like to see again fairly
I
soon.
think, you know, easily my favorite Marvel film. By kind of a long shot. I don't know. It's difficult to compare. I don't think it's fair to compare and just like there are plenty of Marvel films I've enjoyed, but this is like I'm gonna get this on Blu-ray as soon as it comes out and watch it again. Just really, really enjoy it. I think it's definitely my favorite Spider-Man film.
Oh yeah, it's my favorite Spider-Man thing ever. It's just amazing. It's my favorite Spider-Man. Oh, that was one of the things I was going to say. It's like he's like, 'cause Spider-Man, I never was really into Spider-Man comics that much. I read them, but they just, you know, it wasn't my thing. I preferred the more fantastical, you know, the Doctor Strangers and the Silver Surfers and all that sort of thing. But I really liked the films. Out of all of the superhero films, when I come out of the cinema from a Spider-Man film, I'm always like, oh, I wish I was a superhero. He's always the one that makes me feel like that. And I guess it's because he's the most relatable. He's a kid, you know, and he's struggling with all his stuff. And I think I might have said this before about the game. But for this one in particular, I think he's even more relatable because he doesn't get bitten by a spider and instantly become a superhero. He struggles to become that and believe in himself and all those things. And yeah, it's just like really grounded, even though it's the most like fantastical, sort of psychedelic looking one of them all. It's weirdly the most grounded and the most relatable as well.
Absolutely. Certainly, the most kind of emotional and the most human.
Yeah, it is. So I think that's a thumbs up from us.
Definitely.
And argue the toss, gold
Recommend.
star. So that was the start of season one.
Was it? Season 5, I would have thought.
Oh yeah, season five, episode one of season five. Oh God, I held it together for so long. It's going now. We'd better wrap up.
No, we're rebooting just like the film. Let's start from the beginning one more time.
How does this go again? So yeah, just to remind you that we're not on SoundCloud anymore. There are reasons. They're not like controversial or anything. We're just not on there anymore because it, yeah, didn't make sense for us. So we are on iTunes and Spotify, and you can find us at gamingindustry.com and at ArgueTheCast on Twitter still. So we're still in all those other places, just not on SoundCloud. So sorry if you listen to us there, but there won't be new episodes coming up on there. But yeah, so going forward, you might have to move your podcast bookmark or whatever. But that's it, really.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, give us a thumbs up or a star or whatever the rating system is on the thing you listen to, because it is like it is really nice and really helpful. So if you liked this episode, please do that or recommend us. And thank you for listening.
Yeah.
And until next time, Drew.
Cheerio.